Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading verse 39. "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." This is the third message in a series of probably four on this particular verse, and the title of the sermon series is Covet to Prophesy. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please give us understanding and wisdom, that we'd hear a word from heaven as we open your holy word. Please speak to us today. And furthermore, Lord, if there's any sick or hurting, I want you to comfort them. I want you to heal them. Show them what to do if they need direction. Give them strength. Give them help. That the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul is speaking in chapter 12 and 14, with 13 in the middle, about the gifts of the Spirit. We understand that for centuries and centuries and centuries, for the most part, the gifts from God were not in evidence in the church. Every once in a while, if you study history, church history, you'll see every once in a while there's some outpouring of the Spirit or what have you. But for the most part, no. If you look at Acts chapter 2, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but if you look at Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up, he preached that there was a former and a latter rain of the Spirit. The former rain, moderately, he said, and the latter rain. We understand that rain is in the context of harvest. Without rain, your crops wither and die. And the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and we believe the latter rain happened about 100 or so years ago. We know it as the Azusa Revival, which we'll talk about in a second. But the outpouring of the Spirit was given for souls. I want to say that again. The outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when in chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues that they did not know, other languages that they did not learn, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is in the context of a harvest and winning of lost souls. There are many benefits to being filled with the Spirit, but it was given, according to Acts chapter 1, that when we receive the promise of the Father, which I think it's in verse 4 or 5 again of that chapter, chapter 1 of Acts, we're to be witnesses unto Jesus Christ. And he gives a progression which this particular verse in Acts is the key to understanding the book of Acts, that they began to minister in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the Gentiles, or the uttermost part of the earth. It's important to understand why the Spirit of God was given to the church. And when you look at the gifts of the Spirit, and Paul in this verse, our text mentions prophesying and speaking in tongues. It's important to remember that it has to do with winning lost souls. Now, I mentioned the Azusa Revival in 1906. It has a little bit history. You can start with Agnes Osman, who was at Charles Parham's school, I believe it was, in Topeka, Kansas. And I don't want to go through the history of all of this. But they began to understand about speaking in tongues and how it relates to the work of God. Eventually, the revival hit in Los Angeles. There was Pastor William Seymour, and I don't want to necessarily go into the history of all of that. All you have to do is go to Wikipedia and look up Azusa Street Revival or any of these names, Agnes Osman, Charles Parham, William Seymour, what have you. Or just look up Pentecost if you can't spell Azusa. You can read about these things. But speaking in tongues, I'll say it again, is clearly related to the Great Commission in the New Testament, matter of fact, in the Old. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the rest that the prophet said, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. What a sad commentary. Jesus Christ comes to the earth. God from heaven comes to the earth. To the Jews, his own people. He's their promised Messiah. Yet they would not hear. I mentioned harvest. If you want to eat, you got to plant. You got to do what have you. Without farmers, we'd all go hungry. Passover, the feast of Passover, which was when Jesus Christ hung and died on Mount Calvary, that coincided with the barley harvest. You don't hear much about barley these days. You can buy it and put it in beef soup, for instance. Sometimes you get barley bread, but it's not something that we eat all the time in America. And especially in the South, we eat rice, what have you. Or if we have bread, it's wheat. But Passover corresponded with the barley harvest. While Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what have you, the feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Calvary, that happened during the wheat harvest. Both Calvary and the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 had to do with winning lost souls. I've mentioned Acts chapter 1. It's for the harvest. The parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. Verse 30 in particular, it says, let both grow together until the harvest, the wheat and the tares. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Again, the harvest. But that harvest is perishing. And look what happens to those, if you want to take the verse above, in Isaiah chapter 28, yet they would not hear. Those that are not saved, those that are not gathered in, those that are not harvested, they're tares, not wheat, but tares. Tares are weeds. The weeds were cut down, bound into bundles, and burnt. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't gather with Him, it says, then you're going to be burnt. Nobody wants to preach on hell. A lot of preachers don't. Certainly nobody wants to hear about it, but it's the truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. But you can stop and turn around. You can repent. You can decide, I will. You can live for God. But make no mistake, if you don't follow Jesus, you'll end up in hell. Oh, preacher, don't say that. Oh, you offended about... I don't care if I offended your feelings. It's truth. I don't care. It's truth. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, He hung and bled and died for our salvation. It cost the life of God's Son to save you from hell. So yes, He's serious as a heart attack. If you don't live for Him, you'll die and go to hell. Don't let it happen to you. But Paul, and I've mentioned this before, everything after Romans, pretty much everything is corrective in nature. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a lot of correction that Paul gives. He says, everyone's got a tongue, everyone's got a testimony, everybody's got something to shout about. And he says, fine, go ahead and do that. But then he gives a limit to it. It's a mistake to think that the Corinthian model is the normal way of having church. It's not. It's not the normal method. By all means, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, as the Spirit gives the utterance. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. Speaking in tongues is from God. But it's possible to overemphasize and to get carried away with something that originally was from God. Paul didn't have to go to the other places, if it's Philippi or Antioch or any of the other places that he started churches. He didn't have to write this kind of letter because the other places didn't get carried away. The Corinthian model is not normative, I guess is the scientific term. We need to be concerned about sound doctrine. We need to be concerned about discipleship. And most of all, if we're talking about the Spirit, we need to be concerned about winning lost souls. The gifts of the Spirit are important. They're from God. They're important. But Jesus should be center stage. If your church is known for there's always speaking in tongues, or there's always a word of prophecy, or there's always this, or there's always... If your church is known for that, then your church is out of balance. Your church should be known for preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, leading sinners to Jesus Christ, opening the Word of God and teaching, and bringing correction. And pointing out sin. Many things in the Bible. What about tithing? There's any number of subjects we can talk about that are in the Bible. It's not just about speaking in tongues or healing or whatever. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. There's the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, but what about the nine fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, what have you. A gift is something that someone gives you. And sometimes in my evangelistic work, I would use this effect or gimmick. I'd reach into my wallet and pull out, hopefully not a 20, maybe a $5 bill or something, and find somebody on the first row and hand them this $5 bill as a way to show that God's gift of salvation is free. And if you want it, you take it. If not, well, I put it back in my pocket. You didn't earn it. You can't earn salvation. It's free. The gifts of the Spirit are free. You don't have to work to earn them. But the fruit of the Spirit, it takes time. You may not be a farmer, but maybe you've planted flowers or something. Or maybe all you've had to do as a kid was go out and cut the grass. Well, you understand that you cut it, but it grows, and a week later you got to cut it again. Fruit takes time to grow. Meekness and gentleness and what have you, these things take time for God to do a work in your heart, as opposed to an instantaneous gift. Honestly, tongues or speaking in tongues is an embarrassment. It's not something to brag about, but that's what the Corinthians did. That's what some churches, some Pentecostal churches do. They brag about the gifts. But tongues is an embarrassment. Paul said this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 through 25. He said, and he's in the middle of teaching, he said, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, which is fine, but it says, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? It's crazy charismatics. I mean, just look at them. I mean, this is nuts. I'm getting out of here is the response that they'll have. But if all prophesy, in other words, speak in English, and there come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is convinced or convicted of all, he is judged of all his sins, and thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I love revival meetings. I love a revival atmosphere. I love to shout and sing and dance before the Lord. I'm very comfortable lifting my hands. I'm very comfortable singing the praises of God in English and also in the Spirit. But my message, as you well know, is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, yea, rather, and is risen again. But the Corinthians, and again, some churches that we have today, they're not in balance. Their pendulum, let's say, has swung too far to one side or the other. And again, tongues is an embarrassment. We like to sound intelligent. We like to sound like we have a brain. But if somebody hears you speaking in tongues, they say, well, that's ridiculous. I understand that it's from the Spirit. I understand. And there's some doctrine I could teach there about forsaking self and what have you, brokenness, what have you. But it's not something to brag about. But again, what is your message? You, if you're a Christian, you, if you're a preacher, you, if we're talking about a church, what is your message? Hey, we speak in tongues. What a message. Or, hey, let me tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ and how much He loves you and what He can do for you and set you free from smoking or whatever the case. What is your message? Mark chapter 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. We got all of that. But first we need to believe. And we need to have the right message. And it does not say, and those that believe shall follow signs. It says signs or miraculous things shall follow them that believe. We need to make sure we don't get the horse before the cart. What about discipleship? What about understanding? I mentioned tithing. That's something that God has to do in your heart as a new Christian to make you understand that, hey, you ought to support the work. And, oh, by the way, let's pray for your offering that you give, that it would be used for the gospel, that someone else would come to believe as you have come to believe. But sadly, and this is something that burdens me a lot, where basically today Christians are biblically illiterate. We can read enough to type text on our phone, I guess. But if somebody asks you, what's justification? Paul said you ought to be ready to give an answer when somebody asks you, what do you believe? What does justification mean? What does sanctification mean? What is identification? Another Bible doctrine. What do these things mean? It's important to read our Bible and understand. By all means, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues, Paul's instructions were, but let's first understand our Bibles. Let's first learn to live for the Lord. Then people will see our good works and they'll glorify God. Again, what is the message? John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak in tongues. If I'm in a revival or in a good Pentecostal church, I'm going to lift my hands and praise the Lord and have a good time. That's great. I'm going to worship the Lord in the spirit, but I'm also going to worship him in the truth. I'm going to open my Bible when the man says, do you have it? Turn to Matthew or Leviticus or wherever he decides to take his text. I'm going to follow along. I'm going to try to understand what the Bible teaches, because that's truth. Spirit and truth. We need to be balanced in our church worship services. And again, it's all about winning lost souls. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He'll give us power to preach this gospel. He'll be with us, a parakletos, as John said, leaving chapter 16, another comforter. He'll give us power, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to preach and to be martyrs of Christ. But nowhere in the two verses I just read in Matthew 28 says, go ye into all the world and speak in tongues. That's not the focus. That's not the message. But we're to lift up Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And he said, if I be lifted up, if I am preached, if people talk about me and the wonderful works I did by the Sea of Galilee and what have you, and how I took men's sins and went to the cross, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself.
Only believe, all things are possible. All things are possible.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.